I can't look back. There is no option to look back. Mm-hmm. It's where we are and what we're doing, period. But that was the catalyst behind all of it, was just recognizing the opportunities that were there and going for it.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad.
Hey guys, welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm your host. And man, I'm pumped that you are here today. I've got a great guest joining me. Mr. Kyle Gillette is here with me, and he is the founder of Blue Shirt Leadership Coaching, as well as the developer of the Blue Shirt Leadership Framework, which I'm hoping he's kind enough to touch on with us as we get going. But Kyle, how are you, sir?
I'm good, and I'm representing the brand because I'm wearing my blue. So here we go.
I turned the lights on in the back for you. So that's like blue lights.
Perfect.
So I see it right in there.
Represent. There we go.
I'm there with you, man.
What's funny is that the Tennessee orange is similar to my other color, my brand, which is an orange. Now, I don't have any affiliation with Tennessee, but there is definitely orange in my brand too. So there you go.
Go Vols. And you should have affiliation with us. And hopefully we'll do better in sports as we get going. But no, see, we coordinated this well. So I'm pumped.
I am a Peyton Manning fan. And okay. Isn't his like nephew going to Tennessee now, or is he Texas?
Yeah, it's
traitor.
That's a good question. There's Mannings all over. It seems these guys are going to come after me. What? No, it's a great time to be a Vol fan, at least at time of recording, because we're going into March Madness. Team's looking good. Depending on what happens between now and when this comes out, we'll see. But go Vols, regardless, win or lose, we're there for you.
Nice.
So. So, Kyle, you are a dad of three girls. You have a dog. That's also a female dog, right? I remember this. We talked about this like a couple weeks ago. So I asked Kyle at the beginning of this, if he receives a box that happens to be leaking, but it's a male betta fish, is that going to work for him? Just to give him a little extra support in the household. It sounds like maybe we won't do that. You never know, Kyle. So dad of three, you've got your business that you're leading. You're out on the West Coast. So we're a couple time zones away, and I'm really excited to hear about what you've got going and also what you have learned in what you do professionally and how that kind of translates to the dad life and what we can take away as dads, some skills we can learn, some things we can do. So if you're up to it, just I'll give the mic to you and just tell us a little bit about yourself. We'll take it from there.
Sure. Yeah. What's funny, I just realized that the orange in my branding is actually a perfect fit for my background, but it was totally by accident. So I can't even take credit for it. But the blue is on purpose. So I grew up on an orange farm in the middle of the Central Valley of California. And so the orange obviously works. I didn't know it, but the blue is the heart of what it's like to grow up on an orange farm, blue collar, right? The mentality, it's not that I coach blue collar business owners in particular, but just the mentality of a blue collar person is they're very, their word is their bond. You shake their hand, you're going to fall through. Blue is also blue ocean. So opportunities and things are wide open type deal. And then blue also is an acronym, but we'll get into that later. Grew up on the orange farm, worked for my dad from seventh grade through until I was 18 and did that work. Got to drive tractor and do all that fun stuff. That's what it's like to live on a farm and drive a quad and all that kind of stuff. So good stuff. But I remember one summer where I don't know how familiar people in Tennessee are with orange trees, but they have what are called skirts. So it's like a giant bush and then the branches go all the way down to the ground. And we had sprayed the trees for something. I don't remember what it was. And it killed the bottom layer of the bush of the trees.
Not good.
And there was about 10 acres of it that had been killed on the 40 acres that I grew up on. And so I was tasked that summer in 105 degree heat to cut all the branches off so that the tree trimmer or the tree grinder could come through and grind it up. So every day for probably a whole month, I would go out there in the 100 plus degree heat, get up at 5:30 or 5, can't remember, probably 5:30. Let's not make this bigger deal than it is.
Let's call it 5, you know?
It was actually 3 in the morning. It was dark outside. I had a headlamp.
I'm surprised you slept. Like, you didn't right. sleep.
It was 24 hours a day. So I did that for a month, 8 hours a day or whatever the length of time was. And it drove me nuts, like nuts. And I told my dad, probably not very seriously, but I said, I want to kill myself because this is so terrible. And I was really angry, and I ran out of the house and ran past the barn, slammed the gate broke. And I'm like yelling at him. And he's actually on the other side of the fence in his truck as I'm yelling at him. And so then I run out into the orange grove and I grab the clippers and I'm clipping them. And then we later that day talk and we have a conversation, and kind of things pivoted a little bit there. But that was one of those experiences where it was like, this isn't my future. I know that I don't prune trees. If you own an orange farm, that's not your focus. You got to be working with the crews and do a lot of other things that's more of the focus. But there was a pivotal point for me because I was already not really interested in doing that. But I was 16, I think, at that point, and needing to think about college. So long story short, that turned me into kinesiology, which pushed me into physical therapy, which then pushed me into personal training.
Got it.
And I ended up going on a missions trip to India and having a fantastic experience there because I got really into Christianity in college and through Campus Crusade. And my senior year of college, I was fat and behind and not in a good place in my life and afraid of becoming an adult.
Got it.
So my trip to India, and feel free to interrupt at any point if you have a question, because I can ramble.
One question. Yeah. Yeah. Rambling can be really good sometimes because that's where like a lot of this is good information. You're not rambling, by the way. But so when you had that day where you're 100 plus degrees, you hadn't slept in 3 weeks based off of our timeline, and you're doing this hard, laborious work. And 16, I think a lot of us had different jobs doing different things. Restaurants was mine, and also the business that I now run that my grandfather started. But you're having a moment like, not for me. So you go to your dad after this day and you're like, hey, this is not for me, which he may have been thinking you're going to take the business over one day and all that. But what did your dad say to you? Do you remember? Did talk you down or talk you through it?
That wasn't the day that decision was made.
Okay.
We had a conversation about just changing my responsibilities and like giving me things that were more intellectually stimulating. Like I needed to do more intellectually stimulating things. But I do remember when my wife and I had gotten married in 2009, and we had a couple kids, and we were living in San Luis Obispo, California, which I highly recommend to go to. And we needed to decide, are we going to move to the Pacific Northwest or move to the Central Valley of California? Mm-hmm. And it took me about 3 months to make that decision.
Okay.
Ultimately, we moved up to the Pacific Northwest. But I remember the phone call with my parents. I remember the decision had already been made and I had told them and we were moving and it was fine. But I remember, I want to say it was a couple months into moving up here, and I was actually kneeling on the floor. I was kneeling on the floor and I was on the phone with them and I had them on speaker and it was just me and my parents. And I don't think anybody else was even hearing the call. But I remember telling my dad that I was like, this was nothing to do with him, that this wasn't about that I didn't want to work with him or anything like that, that this was a decision that felt like it was right for me. And he said, I'm probably not going to quote it, but there's forks in the road and you have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And he said something to the effect of, I'm proud of you for what you've accomplished and what you've done in your life and what you're doing, and that he understands and it's totally okay and it's totally fine. And so that was really huge for me because my dad and I get along great and I would have worked with him great and I would have done a great job. Like none of that would have been an issue, but it just wasn't a fit. But that's a huge crossroads in life when you basically give up your family to a certain degree because they're 19-hour drive away or 20-hour drive away, right? When 10 hours of traveling if you're going to fly.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
So he essentially gave you his blessing. Because I know in the family business world, that can go a few different ways, depending on legacy and all of that. But he listened to what you had going on you were involved, obviously, for a long time. So it's not like you're just said, I don't want to do it. You've been a part of it. You had the chance to recognize, probably not maybe a good fit for me. And he's like, go do it. You got to make a choice. And so here's your choice. And you're going. And so you moved 19 hours north. Sounds yeah. That's good. No, I'm just curious when you were walking through that conversation. I was like, I wonder what dad said in that moment. Because at the end of the day, we might be in a position like that as dads down the road when our kids are older. And we're like, okay, how do we approach situations differently? If maybe we don't like the outcome. Right. So thanks for humoring me. Okay. So you moved up there. And then at what point after moving up there, you got into kinesiology and physical therapy? And then at what point did you have kids at this point already?
Yeah. So let me rewind for a second, just so that there's continuity in the story. We lived in San Luis Obispo. I lived there for 12 years. And then in the middle of that, met my future wife, got married, had a couple kids. But for all that to happen, and for me to deal with my situation in college, I don't know if there's men right now that are listening to this that they're struggling a bit with the adulting part of life, being a dad and like having to take on all those responsibilities, running a business or working in a business, having kids, being married, trying to make friends. You know, maybe you're going to church and you have responsibilities. There's just a lot of weight that men carry. And it's not to say women don't carry weight or anything, but we carry a different type of weight than women carry. And it's not worse or better or anything. It's just there.
Right.
And I was afraid of that when I was wrapping up college. And so I ended up eating like crazy and getting behind in school. And what was really fortunate is God has always looked out for me, not in the timing that I want, often, but he's always looked out for me. And I'd gone on a missions trip to India, and a guy named John was on the trip as well. And he called me up after the trip when I was in the throes of woe is me. I'm 40 pounds overweight. I'm terrified of life, blah, blah. And he said, hey, there's this job at this men's mentoring program that I think you should apply for. And I said, okay, tell me about it. So he explains to me that it's a men's mentoring program for guys that are 18 and 25 that are off track in life, and they're trying to build a new life for themselves because they have some sort of addictions, drug and alcohol, pornography, whatever it is, they're addicted to things. Just like all of us are to some degree or another right now, whether it's our phone, porn, or other things, dads struggle with addictions in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes they're really heavy and sometimes they're not as heavy, but regardless, they're in the way. And
coping mechanisms.
Yep.
Regardless of what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 100%. And so I'm in my head going, I need this for me. Like, you want me to be a mentor to these guys? I'm the one that needs this. So I interviewed. That's a fun story, but it'll take too long. So I interviewed and accepted the job and ended up working in the program in various roles for 9.5 years. So that is one of the reasons why I was still in San Luis Obispo and why the decision needed to be made to move. I had to give up that job, come up here to the unknown, or move over to my parents. At that time, we had been married for 5 years and we had just had our second kid. And so our first kiddo was going to start going to preschool and we wanted to have grandparents nearby. And that was the catalyst for the decision. So then we moved up here and I could tell you more about that story, but then we moved up here.
Okay. Okay. I want to touch on what you said around we're in it. And then here's this opportunity to lead. And you said, you want me to lead, but I'm the one that needs some of this, right? Some of the mentorship or guidance or. There was a couple episodes ago now, one of my really good friends and, really helps with the show quite a bit. His name's Brian. But when I first got started, I saw this dude in a coffee shop. I don't think I told his story, but I'll be very brief because everyone's like, yeah. Coffee shop. I saw a guy with his kids and I was like, that's awesome. So I just want to go and encourage that, right? It's going to be really weird and awkward. So I went up to him. I said, hey, man, I like the way you dad. And it started this whole conversation. And 2 years later, like, he's one of my best friends. And just really great guy. Brian, if you're listening, pay me later. But what he said on the episode, because I asked him for the first time, I was like, what did you think when I came up to you and said that? And he gives his thing about, yeah, it was different because no one's ever done that to me or said that. And he said, honestly, I thought was, if you saw me 6 months ago, you wouldn't be saying that.
Mm.
And because he had a big shift and there's a lot going on that I didn't know about when I first met him. I think that there's a cool aha moment there for a lot of us. And I'm not talking imposter syndrome, stuff like that, but sometimes, even though we don't feel like we are the ones to lead, sometimes as dads, we're like, I'm not equipped for this. You are, and you don't have to do it alone. So anyway, I like that part of what you said and just want to tap on it and see where you took it from there.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. What happened for me when I stepped into the program, there was new responsibility. Just like when you have kids, there's new responsibility, and then you have to change and adjust how you approach things. And so I ended up signing up to run a half marathon, trained for it, and ran it in 1 hour and 40 minutes and lost all the weight in the process. Wow. Obviously, I took the job, worked and lived in the house with the guys for 10 months, took 1.5 years off to run a business, my personal training business, came back and ran the pet resort that supported the program for 3 years, doubled the income of the pet resort. And then they moved me to the director of the program. And I did that for, I think, 4 years, and then felt the call, if you will, to come up to Pacific Northwest.
Got it.
But the beauty of it, and this is something that might be like the message of the show, because it's the heart of my coaching in a way. Mm-hmm. My dad mentored me and he did a great job. Like I'm very fortunate to have a dad that was wonderful for me. Very fortunate, because I've known hundreds of men that didn't have that, literally hundreds of men. And that sucks.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I was also fortunate to be in a program where the role of the president was to be the mentor over the whole thing, but he mentored the leaders of the thing, which was me and other guys over the course of time. But I was there so long that for 9 years, 9.5 years, every Tuesday we went to lunch together and he mentored me for 1.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And he was a serial entrepreneur, ran 30 businesses, many of them very successfully, sold them, retired in his early 50s, and has never taken a paycheck since. Wow. And he's still at the program and he's 80. So
that's 30 businesses. That was a busy man.
Just lots of franchises. And then he ran an ambulance company, and he was a sheriff or a deputy sheriff. And he was also highway patrolman, all kinds of different roles in his life. Wow. And so I got the collective wisdom of that over the course of 9 years. And then he would teach me, and then I would get to implement it into either the business, which was the pet resort, or into the program, which was Alpha Academy, or is Alpha Academy. And it's like getting an MBA live. You get to apply it immediately.
Yeah. So it's real life stuff.
Yeah. And my point of all that is dads need mentors. Dads need accountability. And that comes from all kinds of different angles, but usually you have to seek it out yourself, which your story illustrates, that you sought out just to be kind to somebody, but it turned into a friendship. But since then, you and Brian have sought each other out in relationship to grow in that relationship. And I think sometimes we can just sit on our hands and be like, how come things are so hard and I don't have anybody to talk to? So did you text that friend that you went and fishing with or grabbed a coffee with? You know, got to put the effort in.
Wasn't that weird, though? If I'm texting, I've only hung out with this guy once and now I'm like pursuing them.
Yep. It is weird. Get over it.
Yeah.
Date them. You have to, in a way, date the guy.
Yeah.
When I moved from the Pacific, from San Luis Obispo up to here, we still one of my closest friends, but we lived together for 3 years. We actually bought a condo together. And so we were real tight. And we had how you can get those U-Haul pods. Yeah. We bought, my wife and I rented 3 or 4 of them to move ourselves. And they were sitting out in front of this barn. We lived in a barn for a year because we sold our house in anticipation of moving. And so we're living in the loft of a barn with our 2 kids, right? It was a fun situation. Like, it wasn't airy or anything. It was like, it was finished.
It wasn't like hay bales.
There was hay bales underneath us, but it was a finished setting. But anyway, it was a barn.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's this barn and there's the U-Haul pods in front of it. And he drives up in his F-150 and we've got our vehicles. We're ready to go. We're leaving that day. And he gets out of the truck and I say hi to him. I give him a hug and we say bye. And we both start crying, seriously crying. And it was just this beautiful moment because it shows the intimacy and the connection of that friendship. And if you want something like that, get over the awkwardness of sending texts to the guy that's not responding to you. When you know you actually have a good relationship already, to some degree or another, there was some sort of a connection because you have something in common or whatever. It's worth it because you're going to be a better dad. You're going to be a better husband because you're interacting with this guy. And if you're not going to be, then don't interact with the dude, obviously.
Well, yeah, it's an investment, right? It's a relationship and it's an investment. And anyone that's listening that has investments that they haven't put anything into, but they're getting 10x or 5x without any investment, let me know, because I'd love to know that secret. But it takes work. And this has come up a couple of times, but no, that I think that's a really powerful example of what it means to like have a strong connect, like you said, strong connection with someone that you know it's painful to leave your close friends. And also your kids are watching that relationship too. They're seeing what it's like to have healthy relationship, healthy friendships, and all the things that come with it. No, I think it's a great story. I appreciate you sharing that part of it.
Yeah.
So after you've moved, like when did you start Blue Shirt? And just tell us a little bit about what you've got going on with that side of it.
Yeah. So Blue Shirt started 6 years ago, 6 years and 2 days ago, actually started March 18th in 2018. Okay. So it's been just over 6 years. And that kind of came out of this experience of, I worked at a church in HR, had 100 employees. And so I was the HR director and had the opportunity to do assessments on all the employees. And I spent an hour with each one of them.
Oh, wow.
Walking through their results and coaching them through the results. And then I learned about John Maxwell and I learned about some other tools and resources for coaching. And I went, this is pretty cool. And I did a workshop for this petroleum engineering company. And that was a terrible experience, but it opened my eyes to that you can make some money doing workshops. It was my bad that it was a terrible experience, by the way.
And thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. And I went, what? I'm going to give notice. So I gave notice and I started the business. And I can't look back. There is no option to look back. It's where we are and what we're doing, period. But that was the catalyst behind all of it, was just recognizing the opportunities that were there and going for it.
Nice. So you found the things you loved in the 100 reviews. That's a good amount of review time right there, just alone. But so who are you primarily working with then? And you talked about the background of Blue Shirt, kind of the yep. meaning behind blue. Like, what's your primary area of focus?
Yeah, so I primarily work with business owners, small business owners, 5 to 25 employees, sometimes more. It's not a huge deal in the number of employees, but that's typically the range. Mm-hmm. And I'm working with people that have some head trash that they want to take care of. So they want to grow their business and I'm going to help them do that. My track record with my clients is a 10 to 30% revenue increase. That's the path typically when I'm working with my clients. But the more valuable thing, in my opinion, is they come to me and they're dealing with imposter, confidence, sales struggle. Sales struggle is not in the sense of numbers. That's a byproduct of it, but sales struggles in the sense of what they believe about what they're capable of doing, right? Leadership issues about their belief about who they are as a leader, all that kind of stuff. And it's all just rumbling around in their brain and clattering around. And we have that voice in our head, especially as men, that we just talk trash to ourselves. Sometimes we get up in the morning and we're like, man, today, I suck, or whatever the crap you say to yourself. Mm-hmm. It's that language, that negative language. And so I work with business owners that are dealing with that, that's really hamstringing their success. They've programmed themselves through the language that they speak to themselves to create lack of success, to create less success than they should have. Some of them have fantastic success despite this negative programming.
Right.
Some of them have a lot less success than they should have. And so long story short, they have to let go of it to grow. So I say, let go to grow. So they let go of all that head trash so they can grow. And I walk them through a very specific process to do that. And I guarantee that whatever they bring to me in 8 hours, it'll be gone. Whatever that issue is and the real core issue associated with it, I'm struggling with my confidence. The core issue there is I'm not lovable, for example. Right, that would be the core issue. The presenting symptom is I'm struggling with my confidence. The core issue is I'm not lovable. Mm. And we figure that out. And then you're free to create from a place without the head trash, which then means your business just goes to the next level because you're not carrying any of that weight anymore.
Right.
No.
Not dragging along.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't climb up the stairs when you got 1,000 pounds of baggage. If you can't up level, if you've got 1,000 pounds of baggage that you're trying to carry up to that next level, that's stupid. Right. That's exhausting.
Yeah. So with the framework that you're using, could you give us kind of a sneak peek what that kind of looks like? Because whether you're a small business owner, 25 employees, 5 employees, 2 employees, sometimes one feels like more than enough. When you're leading and then you're also leading at home, it can be, like you said, your head gets full. But I'm going to be honest, Kyle, I lost my point. It just and went out there. See, I have too much head trash going on, my man. No, but whether you're a small business leader or you're not leading a small business, but you're leading a team or whatever job you've got, we all still go home as dads. So I was curious what you've seen in that realm and how it translates to those. I don't know what percentage of people you work with are dads or parents, but what things translate over to the dad focus for us as individuals. I personally think they're holistic, right? We're a holistic person. So they're all together, but focusing on that and your framework, I think would be applicable to a lot of different things. So curious if you'd share some of that with us.
Yeah. So the framework, the blue framework, so I haven't shared what that is in terms of, it's actually an acronym. Mm. And I love acronyms. I've got a ton that help me remember life. And so sure. I use them all the time in my business. And I came up with a new one today, which is ROW. But anyway, I came up with a new one. And I'm like, use it in a planning session with these people I was talking to. And I'm like, this is great. I got another one. But blue is, what's that?
It's a cliffhanger. We'll right, figure exactly. that one out like next time.
Exactly. So blue stands for be a self-aware leader, lead with accountability, use a growth mindset, and empower others. And that's the 4 pillars of today's leaders, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a book based on this as well. And so I talk about the mindsets and habits of each of those pillars inside of the book, 5 mindsets and 5 habits per pillar. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, it's a cycle. Like the cover of my book, I don't have it next to me, but the cover of my book is, it's arrows pointing at each other in a cycle. Because what happens is when you get to that head trash and you become aware of it, on the unconscious level, your mind needs you to recognize what that head trash is and learn the lesson from it. If I am telling myself I'm an idiot or I suck or whatever language we're telling ourselves, there's a reason that it's there, that it's staying there, because your brain wants to deliver something to you, to teach you something. When you allow that to happen, which there's a very specific process that you can do to make that happen, then you get to learn the lesson and you let go of the negative emotions and the limiting beliefs and you get to move forward. And that creates way more self-awareness. So that's your foundation. I describe it in the book like a leadership house, where self-awareness is the foundation of your house. Then, now that you're more self-aware, you're required to lead with accountability. You have more that you're accountable for because more about who you are and what you're responsible for. And it's easier to take responsibility because you're not in your head so much. Mm-hmm. So now you have more accountability, which in the case of my metaphor, that's the nails that holds the leadership house together. Mm-hmm. Accountability is what holds a home together. It's what holds leadership together. Without that, of course, your house is going to crumble. Mm-hmm. So then, do you have a question? Because all rolls, if I'm not careful.
No, just with the, why would the house crumble without accountability?
So you can have beautiful architecture. You can have fantastic materials. But if you bump it and there's no fasteners, it's going to crumble. It's just going to fall apart. So this is the issue for a lot of men. When we get bumped and we don't have good accountability in place, then we don't fall through on things. Mm. Or we don't fall through as much as we could on things because nobody's calling us out mm-hmm. on that.
They may not be calling us out, but they notice it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my mind went to this, and you could tell me if this is in line with your analogy or not, is that trust essentially is the adhesive of accountability in some ways. And that if you lose accountability, even though someone may not say it, like I always hope that somebody comes to me and says it because that shows my relationship is strong with them and they trust me to tell me something I probably don't want to hear. But when you don't have it and you just start letting it go, if it's related to a relationship, then trust can be damaged, and you can't really go anywhere without trust. It's the foundation of working together.
Yep. And
fair.
Okay. Oh yeah, I totally agree. And it's the core of what makes a business successful too, because if your employees don't trust you, or if your kids don't trust you, then that home environment, there's not going to be very good accountability. The employees won't fall through. The kids won't fall through. There's exceptions, of course, but typically the level of fall through, the level of ownership, now, I can't tell you how many business owners I've talked to that they want their employees to own the business, quote unquote. And they mean metaphorically.
Right.
What's that?
What does that mean to them? What does ownership mean? What does it look like?
Yeah. And if we have time, I'll dive into how you can make that possible in the empowerment part. But ultimately, when I'm working with my clients, my goal is to create automatic accountability within their organization. Mm-hmm. And you do that through empowerment. But let me go to growth first. So if you're more self-aware and you have great accountability in your life and in your organization, inevitably, growth happens. Mm-hmm. It has to. Because everyone else is getting more self-aware and there's better accountability, so growth happens. Right. And there's a whole set of mindsets and habits that are tied to that enhance it even more that it's going to take too long to go into, but that's growth. And I call that the walls and the roof of your leadership house. That's the metaphor there. And then finally, empowerment's the windows and doors. So empowerment is where you realize that you can't do it on your own and you got to stop doing it on your own if you want to get to the next level in your parenting, if you want to get to the next level in your business, in your friendships, whatever it is. It's time to start delegating. It's time to start giving other people opportunity. And there's I teach a 5-step process on how to do that effectively.
What does empowerment mean to you? Because that word has been used a lot over the last few years. And then you ask somebody that and it can mean something different. So what's it mean to you?
I don't have my book, so I'm going to have to do it off the top of my head. I wrote a really good definition one day and then I was like, that's it. I love it. So I'm going to have to do it by the seat of my pants. But empowerment is giving people the opportunity to basically be who they're meant to be. So the more that you understand who someone is and the more you believe in them, the easier it is for you to give them the opportunities to do what they're meant to do. Mm-hmm. That fleshes out through great listening. That fleshes out through great questions. And it also comes out through getting the heck out of the way and not doing it for them.
In a business sense, even at home, like not micromanaging, right? When you're empowering someone, you're essentially bestowing the trust for them to make the decisions. Sometimes not wholesale though, right? It's like in a business environment, it's like, hey, there are barriers because it could be if it's customer service, it's like, hey, you can give X amount of money back on a compensation thing. But if it's $10,000, we should probably talk about it, or $1,000, whatever the thing might be. So with that empowerment, it's the trust that goes to them that we're saying, hey, we trust you to do this, which should allow you to feel free and less constrained so that you can grow and do those things. But with that still comes accountability on their end, right? Because if you do all the things and that empowerment doesn't mean like full freedom to just go and be, there's still expectations associated with it. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example in the home. We have 7-year-old, 10-year-old, and 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And about roughly a year ago, we started allow 6 months ago, roughly 6 months ago, we started to allow our two oldest to be at home without us for short periods of time. Mm-hmm. Because my wife needed to go pick up our youngest at Taekwondo, or I needed to go to the gym to work out, or whatever it was. But with that came responsibility. And what that meant for our kids was, we're going to be gone for this amount of time, which is like 40 minutes maybe. And in that amount of time, yes, you need to play piano. Yes, you can spend a little bit of time on the computer doing your games or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you also need to make your lunches, and you also need to get your showers done. And if the dishwasher needs to be emptied out, you need to empty out the dishwasher too. So when we return, all of that needs to be done, right? So one of the things my old boss, the guy that I worked for 9 years, he would say, you don't expect what you don't inspect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he probably got it from someone else, but that's the accountability part of this. So I get back from the gym, or my wife gets back from picking up our youngest, And then we got to inspect their work, which for us with our middle kid, it's sniffing her armpits to make sure she showered properly.
That's the quality assurance check.
Yeah,
Lift your arms, girl. Lift your arms.
Exactly. And then, of course, it's the rest is pretty obvious. Is her lunch made? Is the dishwasher empty? And then we ask them. So we need honesty from them. We ask them, did you play piano? And then they tattletale if they didn't. But that's accountability, right? Here's responsibility. Right. We trust you. And then we check back in to make sure that they've done the work.
Yep.
And so for me, that's how I empower my kids. And it's taken some time, but they're on top of it. And they mostly do a really good job when they're given that chance. In fact, they typically do better when we're not around because they can't turn to us and come up with excuses or ask us for help. They just got to do it.
Also, the expectations. Like, I think it's important too, right? So here's the expectations. They're clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unspoken expectations are rarely going to be met because they don't know what they are.
Yep.
So sharing those. And so then they have something that they can, to your definition, they can then be free with the opportunity to become and grow into the people that, they can be.
Yep.
To push themselves to have the self-discipline. All the opportunities come from that.
Yep.
It's really cool.
They become the person or the leader they're meant to be. But the real true fruit of empowerment is people thinking for themselves. That's the real fruit of empowerment. Because if you can't think for yourself, then you can't become who you're meant to be. So this process that I teach my clients to help their employees is the purpose is ultimately to help their employees think for themselves, which is the same thing I'm doing with my kids, which is why moms need to leave the house because the kids always cling to the moms the most. And dads somehow, the moms are always irritated. How do the kids just leave you alone? Because I ignore them. Not all the time, but intentionally.
Right.
And if moms would leave the house or somehow isolate themselves away from them, then the kids can think for themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is really empowering for the child. And I'm not saying this is what happens all the time for moms, not their fault, blah, blah, blah. But point is, think for themselves.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. No, critical thinking. And I made my own definition there. Empowerment is, I like your definition. This is my response. People thinking for themselves to achieve a shared vision.
Yeah.
And not necessarily being micromanaged about how to do something. Here's what we want to do. Go figure out how to do it.
Yep.
And they might find a better way to do it than what we would have told them the first time.
Yeah. So. And the center of that process is questions and listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's the center of empowerment is those two things.
Okay. So with the blue acronym kind of outline the framework. I like how you set that up, building the foundation. And if you go back to the very foundation, it starts with us. This was just on another episode about a different topic, but we have to be strong. We have to be mentally fit, physically fit, right? If we want to have the energy, do what we need to do so that we can be on top of our game and then be able to build from that foundation, which I think is epic. From all that you've learned, both as a dad and the business realm, all those things, if there's a guy on here listening that it doesn't matter what stage he's in, new dad, any dad, big part of the show is just taking stories from other guys. And we all learn things. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can learn from each other. What are three things that you tell dad right now that whether it be advice or things you learned, just three takeaways for them to be like, hey, here's what I throw out to you.
Yeah. Put this down. Put your phone down.
Mm-hmm.
First one, that's an addiction. The more you see your phone as a pack of cigarettes, the better, because it's so addicting and it's so damaging to you. And then the secondhand smoke of it is the damage it does to not allowing you to spend time with your kids and your wife, if you're married. And so put the phone down, number one. Number two is make that awkward text, continue to send that awkward text to that other guy, whoever he is, whoever's on your mind. Or if you already have that dude that you're close to and you're good friends, send them a message right now and set up a time to go hang out, whatever hanging out is for the two of you. Send that message. And number three, your wife is more important than your kids. Mm. If you're married, your wife is more important than your kids. They need to come second. And if you don't have that order, and that's a whole other topic, but if you don't have that order, it can be extremely damaging. And I think a lot of men go job, kids, wife or job, hobbies, kids, wife, or whatever order. And that's super dangerous. And it's damaging in the long run to the kids and a lot of other things, obviously. So those are a little harsh, but they're the truth in my experience. And I've done a lot of mentoring and I've worked with a lot of men. And that would be the reality. Those first two are easy in terms of like actionable. The third one takes some work.
They probably all three take work to a degree, but you're right. That third one, depending on where you're starting from.
Yeah.
That could take more work than others, especially if that's a big mind shift and relationship shift from where maybe you've been operating right now. So no, Kyle, I appreciate you breaking those down. Number one, time on these things always goes so fast. As you're building and maybe somebody's listening to this and they're like, hey, I want to learn more. Where can people find you?
Blueshirtcoaching.com is a great place to go. I already shared a little bit about the one program that I'm doing. It's on the homepage. It's called Leadership Advantage. And then I have a mastermind group that I'm calling Project 1024. And it's about getting Christian men together in the marketplace to help build their business so that they have success in their business, but also success in the home, and combine all those things. And there's several verses. There's 10 verses in the Bible that have the reference of 1024 to them. That are the tenets of the group. And so I'm bringing men together in a very intensive context to help them, yes, grow their leadership, grow their business, and grow their relationship with God.
I love that. And as they're doing it together, they're going to build relationship with other people and have more guys to send awkward texts to.
Yep, exactly. Part of the program is it's required that you create an accountability partner in the program. You have to do that. So it's going to be awkward for a moment.
That's perfect. Yeah. And I love it on the other side of it is when it's not awkward anymore. And you're like, you just send a text and maybe it's been a few days or whatever, or a phone call or whatever. And it might be a minute before they get back to you, but they get back to you. And that's just a different flow of relationship, especially if you're virtual, like they're not local friends, they're time zones away. But no, man, I love it. I love what you're doing. Thanks for taking the time. Sit down here. And with the amount of time we have, we can only scratch the surface. And so I hope that you and I can continue to just stay in touch, that you have success with what you're building, because you're going to be helping a lot of people. You already have over the last 6 years. So you're killing it, man. Keep up that good work and keep an eye out for a leaking box in the mail that may or may not have a fish in it.
Perfect.
Thanks, Kyle, for coming on with me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach.
Guys, if you've been to this point in the podcast, I know you've gotten something from what Kyle shared. Go check out his framework. I'm going to be checking it out even further because I love the different concepts of building the foundation and kind of working through that so that not only is it building yourself, but it's how to build teams. And as dad, we build teams. That's what we do. We've got our wife. We've got our kids. If you like your animals, you got your animals. But really around your team, we're team builders. And just a double tap, I know we've hit it a couple of times, but guys, it's so important that you've got somebody next to you in a friend zone, in the friend setting, a close friend. You may not have that yet. It's okay to reach out, be awkward. It's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel weird, but the fruit of it is very good. And you will grow from that. They will grow from that. And also your kids are going to grow from it because they're going to see what it's like to have a good, positive relationship with friends. And maybe that won't be something that they face as much because they've seen it. They know how to go do it. So anyway, you've got that one. And if you need a place to start, come here. And if you run some awkward stuff, share it with us because we won't have to do it on podcast. But it's like, hey, let's hear about what you got. And maybe we've heard from somebody else what they did or just some encouragement. Go to skilleddad.com. You can email me at zach@skilleddad.com. But ultimately, I hope that you took something away that you can apply to your life from this episode. And if you think of somebody else, share it with them. You can send them awkward text about listen to this episode because it made me think of you and then have a conversation around it. But at the end of the day, we hope that you can take these things, use them, grow with them. We're glad you're here and we're with you as you become the skilled dad.